Blog Talk Radio. Good morning. Welcome to the Medbaker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen, and good morning to you, Neil.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's Friday morning, and today we are continuing our discussion on how chakras absorb energy. But first, we want to invite everybody to join us right here on Blog Talk Radio. If you haven't already done so, follow our show, join us on Facebook and Twitter. We always like to promote our social media sites because it helps to promote our show and spread our message to humanity.
And for our animal listeners, the animal kingdom as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We don't even want to get into what's going on. There's a lot of sad animal stories online right now, I've noticed, which is unfortunate.
Let's hope to God that they don't eliminate the Environmental Protection Agency, which is now also being threatened
by
certain candidates. So we want to make sure that our animal companions are well protected.
Absolutely.
And not at the cost of some high-rise building. For our animal listeners, and we do have several that group around us, and we want to make sure they have a voice and an ear too.
Definitely, definitely. Well, I'm certain that animals aren't listening to a radio show, though we do have some birds that occasionally will stop by and listen to us.
Yeah, they're obnoxious, but they're...
We have a caller, but we're going to talk first. So if this caller, I don't know who the caller is, they don't have their hand raised. I'm not sure if they want to speak with us or not, or if they're just listening. But we do get to call us at about 15 to 20 minutes after the show starts. But we were talking in the last show, Neil, about how chakras absorb energy. And I'm not sure quite where we left off, but we can do a brief overview of the...
First of all, let's quickly define chakras. They're basically, by definition, called wheels of energy.
Right, they're energy centers in the body.
And they're subtle, yeah. They're connected to the soul specifically, but they do have an association to the body itself. And they're so, in that regard, they're considered more or less like doorways. And they're doorways of life force energy. And those doorways connect the soul to the body. And of course, we have seven major chakras in our system. And they are, like I said, kind of outside the body, even though they're inside the body. They're not really connected to the body. They're invisible fortices that spin with energy, and they have different frequencies and vibrational levels, and they rule different divisions of the emotional, intellectual state of our being. And so with that happening, some are going to be more dense than others in individuals. For those of us who are ones, we're going to have more density in the root chakra. For those in two, more density in the sexual chakra.
Relationships.
And so on and so forth. Four would be more dense in the heart chakra.
Heart chakra or things related to balance issues.
Yeah. They each have their different energy fields. And like the kind of polar energies, they work kind of an opposite direction. They're like a battery. With a positive pole, which is the Pingala, and they also have a minus pole, which is called the Ida.
Ida.
Yeah, I actually had an Ida in a book I wrote as a character.
Right, Occult of Labor.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And that's the minus pole. Feminine. The positive pole is more masculine, but but we're looking at this in terms of vibrational energy. So these two poles, they simultaneously work together, just like the right side of our body opens and closes and sends energy, the left side of our body receives and opens. So that's going to be the female male energies too. And these energy fields, they're located in more or less the etheric body. They're the blueprint for our physical body. So they've already been established before our physical bodies came into being. So our souls are carrying these seven energies. And when they're placed into the body and we're conceived as human beings with physical bodies, these chakra centers remain intact via the soul that is now inside the body.
Right, for that incarnation, that specific incarnation.
Yeah. And they send out signals continuously. They hold energy in and they send energy out. Now, the energy they're holding is karmic, basically. The history of our soul, all of our journeys, they're each contained in each compartment. All of our journeys on the planet regarding home, all of our journeys on the planet regarding relationships, creativity, so on and so forth, intellect, learning. And each chakra has its own division of intensity. So the intellect may be lacking, but there may be a high prolific kind of sexuality in an individual. Maybe they're balanced.
Or heart energy.
Or heart. So each has its own energy and each has its own karmic history.
Right. And I just want to say, you people, as they go through their multiple incarnations, can resolve certain chakra systems in a lifetime, but have unresolved chakra systems, which cause them to come back into the body in a successive lifetime. And even if a chakra system is resolved in a previous lifetime, there can be something to obstruct it or take it out of balance in that next incarnation. So just because you've resolved a chakra system in a previous life doesn't mean you're not going to create a problem in it.
Your actions,
next lifetime.
Your actions are like tools. And they can actually hinder a chakra function by adding something dark to it. On the other hand, you can, by your very action, that's what makes life creative, you can actually enhance a chakra and bring light to it. And that can even be so overwhelming that it starts to balance out the other chakras. So a lot of people make these drastic, you know, people who make these drastic changes, I'm going to turn my whole life around. What they're really saying in essence is, I'm going to go through all my chakras and clean them out. Not just one energy, but all of them. So you want that whole balance system going so that the astral body can be in cahoots with the physical body. And then you have a complete dynamic of what a human being should be, soul, body, mind. And in that regard, we have that kind of Trinity factor going on. But the energies, when we look in the energies, when we're looking like at the first three chakra systems, the 1 to 3, we're basically in the physical body. We're in the lower body of the energy. When we get into the heart and the throat, we're more or less in the emotional body, the astral body. When we get to the brow and to the crown, we're in the mental and the causal bodies. We're in those energy fields that are a little bit higher in energy field. And then, of course, with each intensity, there's a color zone. So the more denser, richer colors, the reds and the yellows and the greens, are gonna, they go up the scale. That's common.
Right. So when you're looking at a chakra system or someone's energy, Neil, how you perceive the chakras in terms of their color. I mean, you can have transparent shades of red. You can have rich, opaque reds or blues. Mm-hmm. There can be muddy colors. So you're going to have, I mean, what about those variations when you're looking at a chakra system, like a transparency versus an opaqueness, or a clarity versus a dullness or muddiness? I mean, I think the dullness versus the clarity is kind of obvious, but in terms of the transparency and opaqueness, it's a little bit more.
A chakra system that's dull is you kind of relate it to the speed in a film or in your car motor. If you're going too slow in a movie, everything's moving in slow motion. If you go too fast, it looks like the Keystone Cops. if you're revving up your engine and the technician has to tone it down, just because you have a chakra that's vibrating speed, really fast, that doesn't necessarily mean it's good.
Right.
Because it's like an engine. So you may have an overactive sexual energy. You may have an overactive mental energy, and you're have attention
deficit disorder.
Yeah. And so you have to kind of, a lot of times people are just really intense and their ideas are jumping all around and they're intense and they're entertaining and they've got ideas spinning. And sometimes that's work if they can compile it with a sense of balance in the energy. Others just can't even hold a thought long enough and their mind races faster than their language and they have to kind of tone it down. So the elements are same in the color. I may see an intense purple color in somebody's aura, and that might be the beginning of good news. But then you got to really look at it, because if it's too overstimulated, it could be induced by drugs. It could be that they're so overactive in the higher chakra system that their lower chakra is dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got
to kind of... it's a whole analysis. It's not just based on a single element.
That's right. There's a calmness. When you're looking at all the colors and they all seem to have a beautiful balance and their tones are rich, but not one's overriding the other, then you have a balanced system of energy in that chakra system. And therefore, you should have a balanced human being at the same time. And so that's when you have the most tempered energy field of a human being, where everything works accordingly. Now, that's rare. Most time, most of us are lopsided. And we have intensity in one field and not intensity in another. So you have to look at those energies and the color variation. If they're all very bright, if I have a bright purple, I want to look down and see I have a bright yellow and a bright green, according to the heart. So I, you know, if you have a highly intellectual person, but they have a cold heart,
Well, what's the use, right?
Yeah. Or they're not really founded. They don't have a strong foundation. A lot of our intelligent people are homeless. You know, why is that? Why are a lot of intelligent, talented people homeless and struggling for survival on the streets? Not balanced energy. So you have to have a kind of balanced energy between these zones. And of course, that's where the life force flows in the chakra system and how we absorb it. And you have to also condition it to what is karma, old karma you're getting rid of, what karma are you producing in the life you're in, and what kind of transcendent energy you're creating in the life you're in, or high energy that you brought from other lifetimes.
Let's do this, Neil. I think we'll have more time to get back to this, but I want to take our caller that's sitting here. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Because they've been waiting quite a while. Hi there, 865.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Cassandra.
Hi, Cassandra. Oh, hi, Cassandra. I had to readjust my brain there for a moment. How are you? 1229-86, Neil. She's at 3811-2.
I'm doing well.
Good. Can you talk right into your receiver because it's a little bit garbled?
Sorry. Can you hear me better now?
That's much better, yeah. There's a little static on the line, but that's better.
Okay.
What's going on?
I was just calling to listen to the radio talk and to see what you guys had to offer for today. I don't really have any specific questions this afternoon, but I guess you guys, if you want to, you can provide it like a general
overview. General reading? You want a general reading? So, Neil, I just want to remind you, Cassandra, she's the one that had the horses come up in the reading and then the Pegasus in the movie and all that, the horses in her town. So
I remember her.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm getting about you right now is something to do with speed.
Not math.
Not math. Speed as in bicycle wheel. I don't know how it relates to what I was just talking about, but I'm seeing a bicycle wheel. Now, do you own a bicycle?
I do. I haven't used it in quite a while.
Has anything come up to where you were thinking about it or anything remotely about that?
Well, I mean, I've been thinking about becoming more active, but I just had a newborn, so I was thinking more along the lines of like stroller and walking.
Oh, okay. Well, the stroller, well, no, because, you know, most of us don't walk with a wheel.
Right.
No, so, you know, give or take the bicycle, if we're riding it, if you have a newborn and you're going to be walking along the street with a wheel, then that's really probably the wheel I'm looking at. So what we're looking at, Cassandra, is that you have a newborn, and I'm looking at the wheel probably of the stroller. Do you actually have a stroller?
I do.
Okay, so that's the wheel I'm seeing.
Yeah, and they're actually rubber tires. They're not like the plastic cheapo ones. So.
Okay. So in your reading today, I'm picking up on, I didn't even know you had a child. I'm picking up on the baby and you walking with the baby. Now, there's going to be a connection between your attitude with your baby in the home as opposed to your attitude with the baby outside of the home.
Okay.
You know, what state do you live in?
I live in Tennessee.
Well, we just had a tragic event happen here in California where a mountain lion, a puma, killed a koala bear. A 14-year-old zoo jumped over the fence and killed this koala bear. And it shouldn't have happened at night because the other koala bears in the zoo took to high shelter in their confines in the trees. But this one older koala bear at nighttime would take advantage of the night air and like to wander around its pen, and thereby it was susceptible to attack by the mountain lion. Now, what I'm saying to you is that there's two different varieties of energy. There's your connection to your child inside shelter, the home, and then there's a connection to your child outside in the environment when you're walking. So I must be getting a read on your connection to your baby while you're walking with your baby outside. That's a whole different agenda. You know, when you think about it, you know, even our relationship with our pets, we have a different relationship with our pet inside the home than when we take it for a walk. It's a whole different agenda when you're outside with somebody. You still have the energy changes when you're inside with somebody, you're talking to them, and when you're outside, things change. Energy change from inside, outside, inside, outside. Now think of that as chakra systems. When you're inside, outside, the body, the soul. When you're outside, you're sending a different vibe to your baby. The security level's a little bit higher because you got to watch for traffic, you got to watch for dogs, you got to watch for all kinds of things. But it also changes to the extent that you're in nature, you're in the air. So what you should do, Cassandra, when you're walking your baby, is send it a vibration through thought. Because that connection to your newborn is still connected to you through a psychic limb. The umbilical cord is cut, but not the psychic limb. And so the vibration you send your baby continues even outside when you're walking. And what you should do with your baby when you're walking is send it signals about the trees, the birds, the cars. Send it a vibrational definition of what the environment is. And that baby's going to be fed that information, even though it may not be in articulate fashion. There's going to be a kind of cosmic language going on. So that's what I would encourage you to do.
Excellent.
All right, Cassandra. We appreciate your call.
Thank you, Jan. You guys have a great day.
You too. All righty.
So, you know, we were talking about... We were talking about the chakra centers.
Yes, we were.
And the subtle bodies. So, you know, while we're waiting for maybe another caller to connect to us.
It's a weird day today.
Yeah, it is. We were discussing some of the energy fields of the chakra system.
The chakra system. So as you were saying, Neil, you can have vibrant chakras, but if they're not all vibrating and balanced, I mean, I think balance is the key word, then there's a potential issue.
Yeah. Well, you know, the ultimate balance between the chakra systems would be the balance between instinct and survival and intellectual pursuit. So when that's the balance between the physical and the mental.
Right. So the lower chakras are obviously more connected to instincts than the higher chakras.
Yeah. The survival instinct. You're dealing with an instinct there, and you're dealing with the instinct of survival. We don't usually say the instinct of intellect. We talk about the instinct of survival. So in terms of that instinct form of survival, we also come up with certain attitudes of emotions, which gets more into the emotional field, but that would be the emotion of fear. Our instinct to survive is also based on the instinct that we have to, survival is based a little bit on fear. So we have the fear of a predator. We have the fear of death. There's something that even in instinct that is incorporated in the brain that we can die. So cavemen, our old ancestors, even though they weren't intellectual to the extent that we analyze what is intellectual energy, they had an instinct to survive, meaning that there was an instinct that they could cease to exist. And that could be in regard to not only just the experience of pain, that you learn through pain how to experience life and start to formulate our first attitudes of intellect. So our first attitudes of intellect is rooted in the idea that we have an instinct to survive, an instinct that we analyze what is fearful or hurtful to us. And from there, we start to formulate the higher capacity of intellectual logic. What is logical? What is good for us? What is bad for us? And as that energy moves upward into our zones, it carries with it the root energy of the instinct to survive. And if we get high enough, then instinct to survive is that in order to survive, we need to know about God. We need to know about knowledge. We need to know about the issues of the heart. So it goes from the issue of survival on the physical scale, just our breath, our very breath, which is the breath that we tend to take up with us. We don't realize that our breath goes to different levels of our body. There's the physical breath, the chakra breath of the first, the chakra breath of the second, sexuality, orgasm, the chakra breath of the third, appetite, the chakra breath of the fourth, the breath of the heart, how our heart flutters, what makes us emotional, the chakra breath of the throat, what makes us excited about communication, that's what gives us poetry and music, the chakra breath of the sixth chakra, which is the attitude of the mind, and then the breath that brings us from the mind, sixth chakra, to the seventh chakra, which is the attitude and the breath of transcendental meditation or spirituality or communication with God. Each level of breath is different for each chakra. And it doesn't mean to say that we can't be, the breath of the seventh can't be combined with the breath of the first chakra. They can be. So the breath to survive can be also equated to the breath to survive means the breath to survive and understand the will of God. The breath to survive and understand the will of inspiration, of creativity. The breath to survive and understand the emotional attitudes of love. And all of these things correlate in such a way that if we operate and develop our breath as though we developed our body from infancy to adulthood, we develop our breath in 1 second from the instinct to survive to the instinct to know, to be wise. And that energy spins and gains momentum with every chakra that ascends. From the first to the eighth, so it keeps collecting the energy.
So the key is to link the lower chakras to the higher chakras, because you can, in a lifetime, learn about the breath to survive, but never reach the upper chakras.
You may never, but that's why purple is the highest, because purple is the all the colors. It's all the colors combined. So if you're attuned and you have a bright purple, that means that you've carried with that purple every chakra system, red, yellow, green, blue. You've accumulated all the chakra systems together uniformly.
Right, because as you said last show, purple is the, did you say that last show?
Highest color.
The highest color, but it's composed of all the colors.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was on the show
violet,
or somewhere else, but yeah.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah. And it has the whole chakra system. Now, if it's muddy, then that probably means that even though you're looking at the seven chakras, it's supposed to be purple, one of the lower chakras has not been developed functionally and systematically correct to bring out that purple. So it's going to be muddy. And then you just go down the chakra system until you find the real muddy chakra that is where the color's void or dark, and then you realize where it's polluted. And it usually goes in a scale. So if the first chakra is gray, then the each chakra ascending in order is going to be a little bit dimmer, a little bit dimmer, and then you can trace it back to the one that's having a problem. It may be a root problem, you know, and then you need a root canal. And then you need
and that it solves everything. Once you get the root canal, you're going to have a perfectly aligned
and the
chakra.
The biggest clarity will be in your bank account.
Well, you know, it's frightening to me. I mean, it's scary because, I mean, most people, if we're talking about like the general population in North America, they're not thinking about chakra systems. We're not taught this in Western religion. I mean, we really aren't, those who have been raised in that kind of tradition. I mean, so being aware of what type of work we need to do while we're walking on the planet is so important in order for us to, you know, actually get off the planet.
Well, we use this phrase.
And assume all the responsibilities, the universe.
We use this phrase. Yeah, The universe is not involved. It's a poor word, but what it means is the all-consuming energy, God, whatever. We'll let you know what's wrong because they'll give you what's wrong in your life by showing you where the difficulties are. You know, if it works, don't
right.
fix it. But if it's not working, if your relationships are bad or whatever, that's where you're having a karmic problem, whether you like it or not. And it may be a challenge, and it may be to your welfare to correct that problem, but that's where your karmic disillusion is occurring,
mm-hmm.
in that chakra system, whatever that theme may be.
Right. But as far as applying it's actually relatively easy if you understand this theory. You know, it's relatively easy. And if you can learn to, I mean, this applies to the birth date code as well. And of course, this, we're going to be revealing more of this in our book and how the birth date code can be utilized to transcend us and to eliminate karma. But if people understood this, and hopefully our book will reveal that, Neil.
Well, or, yeah. That's important.
Then it would be a lot easier for people to get through life.
It would be. And you got to think of the chakra system. I mean, why do we name the days of the week, the 7 days of the week? We don't say, yeah, we'll see you one of the days of the week.
Who knows?
I don't know. One out of seven. So we name the days of the week just like we name the chakras. And in naming the chakras, think of it as naming the days of the weeks. Think of it as naming the months. They're each individual. They each have a personality. They each have a trait and a characteristic. And they each command a certain theme.
A certain theme.
My fifth chakra is this. Okay. So is
that has a lisp? Yes, we have a caller. 510 is our caller. Hello. Are you there, 510? Can they hear us? Caller 510 is not answering us. Okay, they dropped. Maybe they'll come back.
Can anyone hear us?
I think they can hear us now. I think it's their call.
Okay. So in each command, a certain attitude. But you got to realize too that each chakra has its own willpower.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, the will center is really the third chakra. That's the energy. I mean, if we're talking about all the chakra systems, that would be the one that's the...
Well, it's the lower brain. It's the attitude, the will chakra, yeah.
But each chakra has
a willpower. Yeah, there is a willpower. You know, some people can, they're really great in certain areas. They have strong will, and then they have a weakness for sweets. They have a weakness for something, you know, whatever it may be, drugs or whatever. It doesn't have to always be a dark thing. They have a weakness for shopping.
A weakness for, I don't know, angel figurines.
Yeah, whatever it may be, they have certain obsessions, which may or may not be in enhancing to the overall collaboration
of
life.
Sure.
But you see, each chakra has its willpower, and that willpower essentially is created in the first chakra. Now, what happens...
Because of the survival instinct of the first chakra.
Because of survival instinct. But then what happens is that the willpower becomes more subtle. And as it becomes more subtle, it blends into the attitude of the personality person. If it remains non-subtle, then you get a really aggressive person. You get a really aggressive person. They're aggressive in everything. They're strong. You know exactly. They're outspoken. They're just brute force. It's like in the politics, it's opposed to a strong willpower like a Trump.
Trump, I was thinking Trump.
Or something more soft and a little bit more reflective like the Carson character. You know, this has something to do with political
affiliations.
Systems, but it was just talking about how personalities are different. You know, you have somebody like a John Belushi, very strong and outspoken, or you have somebody very subtle and soft like a James Stewart kind of. You know, in his interviews, he was more soft. He didn't run out like Robin Williams and jump all over the
stage. Right, extrovert versus introvert.
So and the willpower, but it doesn't always equate to health or well-being. It equates to merely expression. So you can have a strong expression and a strong willpower, but that doesn't necessarily mean the willpower and the balance of the chakra are two different issues. So you can have a strong will, but it can offset the balance of the chakra system. That's why it's got to be tempered. You need the male and female aspects, the inside and outside aspects of energy in order to really determine if you have a finely tuned individual that's balanced. And that's equated to the heart. Even the heart has four chambers.
Four chambers.
But
four chambers of the fourth chakra.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, as we look at this and we look at the attitude of the energy field, I mean, there's so many things to talk about because we're talking about also the waking state of the chakras as opposed to the dreaming state of the chakras because they each have their waking and dreaming state. Usually what happens in a dreaming state of the chakra, when we go to sleep, the chakras come alive. They're like bats flying out of the cave. And usually what happens in our dreaming state is when our dreams are released and we open up the energy of that field, then we astral project, we go on astral travels. That's the mysterious, mystifying effect of the chakra system at night. When we're awake, they kind of hibernate. They're vibrating, but they're more in tune with the physical body than on a conscious level.
Right, and the more aligned, I mean, the more imbalanced and aligned our chakras are, the more we're going to be able to experience astral travels rather than psychological dreams. Because I think when if there's issues in the chakras, there's going to be more working out of karma in those dreams. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely true.
So, Neil, we're going to wrap up today because we're out of callers and we can continue this another day. I mean, this is a continuing discussion. We may have another topic, but we'll definitely come back to this because it's very, very interesting, the chakra systems. And we are back on the air on Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Thank you to our callers for joining us. Bye-bye.